This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Bob McDonnell is the Attorney General of the Commonwealth of Virginia and a very good friend of this program. He joins us on the long line from his office in Richmond. Good afternoon, sir.
Coy, good afternoon. Thanks for having me on again.
Absolutely. Always look forward to it. We were talking before the break about the primary elections yesterday, and wanted to get your take on read your tea leaves now and tell us what this means. We only had about 7% of eligible voters actually turn out across the state, but that's to be expected, I guess, for these type of primaries. But what was your take on what happened? There were a few upsets.
Well, there were in both parties. There were sitting incumbent senators who were beaten by challengers, and you're right. The turnouts are usually disappointingly low. Although, you know, in my primary for attorney general, we only had a 5% turnout statewide, and I think there was anywhere from a 5 to 13%. So some of them generated some more interest. But you know, this is the democratic process. Each party is free to nominate that candidate which it deems best to support its principles and platform. There are differences of opinion in both parties. We both have big tents with diverse beliefs, and unfortunately for the incumbents last night, some of them got clipped by challengers who organized and worked hard, and there are always our internal differences within the parties, and that's what kind of was borne out last night. But most of the incumbents obviously returned. There were a number of open seats with retirements where there were spirited contests, and now I think everybody will be taking a few days, Coy, to take a look at who won, who lost, and what the chances are for one house or the other holding majorities in the future. But that's just part of our democratic process. We do it better than any other country, and that's the way it turned out.
There were some moderate Republicans, Marty Williams in Newport News, Brandon Bell in Roanoke, who lost their seats to more conservative challengers. And there's already talk that Democrats are going to be using this to try to go after those middle voters. Is this good or bad for the Republicans here in Virginia to see these very tenured moderates losing seats?
Well, anytime you lose an incumbent, it's always makes it a little more difficult to win. And incumbents got generally established grassroots operations, established fundraising operations, and so when you have a challenger win and then they've only got 5 months left to compete for a general election, it certainly makes it harder. So to that degree, I think it makes those seats more tougher for the Republican in a general election. But that's true in either party. I think some of the Republican differences that manifested themselves last night went back to essentially one vote, and that was in 2004, where the taxes were increased. I was in the House at the time. I opposed that. I thought it was, and we were just turning the corner and coming out of the slump from the early 2000s in the wake of 9/11. And there were disagreements in the party on that vote. And I think back then probably the die was cast that there were going to be challenges in these primaries. But I have to say the Republican leadership in the House and the Senate did an extraordinary job this past session on major initiatives on transportation, on eminent domain reform, on sexual predators, on electricity, major reforms, no disputes on the budget, and put forth a principled vision for how Virginia ought to be governed, and did it very well. You know, we got the best managed state in the country, the most business-friendly state in the country. I'd like to think the Republican leadership in the House and the Senate has had a lot to do with that. So, you know, I'm obviously going to be doing everything I can to make sure that team stays on the field. I think they get a lot of credit for why Virginia is such a great place to live, and it's, you know, unfortunately the people have made their choice, and some folks who have been part of that are not going to be back.
As contentious as it can be sometimes in Richmond, I think you're right. We sort of need to stop for a moment and realize that it's a whole lot worse in a lot more states around this country, and that we do have parties here in Virginia that, you know, when the rubber meets the road, no transportation pun intended, but they can get together when they need to.
Well, I think so. That's particularly for the last, I'd say 10 to 15 years where the majorities, where the numbers have been pretty close in the House. I mean, what people always forget, in particularly some of the unfair criticism leveled at the Republican Party today, you know, the Democrat Party controlled Virginia for 130 years. It's only been the last decade where Republicans have had a prominent say in what goes on in the Commonwealth, maybe 15 years since George Allen was elected governor and then the General Assembly becoming Republican in 97 and, well, 99. And so it's been a short term, and yet there are fairly strong majorities in both houses. Now, Virginia's certainly a competitive state when it comes to ideas and comes to politics. The last two election cycles have proven that, but obviously I'm a Republican. I believe our philosophy is better, and we have the party of ideas and reform. We've showed that with some significant reforms the last 3 or 4 years in Virginia, and actually able to get, you know, the first transportation bill in 21 years. It was a Republican initiative. Democrats fought that, and only at the very end with the governor's insistence that they change their vote. So I'm even though there are some different people that will be competing for office this year, I think on the core issues of what unites Republicans, of limited government and low taxes and respect for property rights and trying to keep a safe Virginia from gangs and drugs. I mean, those are all things that I think we're going to have pretty strong unity on, Coy, and so I think that our team will be fine.
Can we get you? We're talking with Bob McDonnell, the Attorney General of Virginia, and the phone lines, of course, are always open at 977-1070. Before we break here at the bottom of the hour, can we get your thoughts about the resignation of Ed Gillespie, who has been literally called to the White House to advise the president, something that anyone would be hard-pressed to turn down, only really at the helm here in Virginia for about 6 months. What does this mean for the party here in Virginia?
It's a very tough loss. Ed was is an excellent lawyer. He was a very strong leader for our party. I mean, he's been the chairman of the Republican National Committee. He helped to write the contract with America back in 94. He's an author laying out a comprehensive conservative vision. He was able to help unify the party. He was an extraordinary fundraiser, raising about $1 million for the party in the last 6 months by bringing in top-notch people from John McCain to Fred Thompson and others. So it is, there's no way to sugarcoat it. It is a loss for us because he did such a fine job in short order. At the same time, and I've talked to Ed several times, including this morning on his way to the White House, he's been a friend of the president's for a while, and, you know, when the president of the United States calls you and said, look, I need you to be my lawyer for the rest of my administration, this is a tough time for our country. We've got a lot we need to do domestically and in foreign policy. I mean, I think you say yes. And so I admire Ed for the decision, but it's a tough loss for us. So we'll be working the next couple of weeks to look at those who might be interested in following in Ed's footsteps and work together to pick the best leader to carry on the fine work that he did.
Our guest is Bob McDonnell, the Attorney General of the Commonwealth of Virginia. Before we leave this subject, have you been involved in any conversations to choose a successor to Ed Gillespie, who has stepped down as chair of the Republican Party of Virginia?
Well, some. I think it's going to be a week or more before everybody's had time to do appropriate discussions. Ultimately, the state central committee will make that decision. But several folks have contacted me expressing some interest, and so yeah, we're talking about some names. So I think we just want to make sure somebody that can continue the good work that Ed has done, and somebody that's got the time and energy to work hard from now to November for these important elections.
I had the Richmond Times-Dispatch has reported that former Lieutenant Governor John Hager, who's now an Undersecretary of Education with the Bush administration, is a possible candidate, is somebody who is being talked about. Is that accurate?
It is. Yes, John's a fine public servant at the federal level now, former Lieutenant Governor, and obviously ran as a, and worked as a Republican and serves in administration now. So John has been a good leader for Virginia, and I think he's going to be certainly a serious candidate.
Yeah, and I'm a great admirer of his and of his amazing story of success and accomplishment in his life. despite all odds against him. And he has done a lot of terrific work for the Sorensen Institute at UVA, has former state chairman and has served on that board for many years.
Well, John is truly a great American story. You know, living, oh gosh, most of his last 30 to 40 years in a wheelchair, and yet his heck, I've traveled with John over to Taiwan. I've been at other places in the country with him. And he just never lets things get him down. He's got an amazingly positive attitude, and has just been a very good spokesman for our party. So he's one of several names that's been mentioned, and obviously with the elections going on and some other things, I haven't personally had a lot of time to spend on that, but I certainly want to talk to all those who might have an interest in leading our party.
Bob McDonald, he's the Attorney General of the Commonwealth of Virginia, and if you would like to talk with him, the phone lines are open at 977-1070. Let's turn our attention to some of the things that your office has been working on. I want to take a very quick moment to give you time again to talk about the Wall of Honor really quick here. I know that was dedicated, and for folks who may have missed what this is rather historic that your office, this is a brand new thing that was created at your office, and just want to give you an opportunity to share with folks yet again what this is and why this is important to us.
We dedicated a Wall of Honor in the ground floor of the Attorney General's office with the governor and lieutenant governor and a number of generals just a few weeks ago on Memorial Day. And the whole point is there have been 141 Virginians who have died in the global war on terror, starting with the USS Cole in October of 2000, and including Iraq and Afghanistan thereafter. And we wanted to make sure that what happened in Vietnam, where people came back, and the veterans were not appreciated. The sacrifices of the men and women who perished in Vietnam were not fully appreciated by our country. I was determined as a veteran myself with a daughter who was just returned from Iraq that we should not let that happen in Virginia. We need to take care of our warriors. We need to take care of the memories of those who have given the ultimate sacrifice. So we invited all the family members of the 140 deceased Virginians, and we ended up with over 300 from around the country that came, along with a number of other citizens who just wanted to pay tribute to this the sacrifices. And we put up pictures with a brief biography about their unit and about the date of their death in the Attorney General's office, so that we will never forget. We'll be able to see the smiles and the faces and the real live men and women who fight this war on terror. And I'm very pleased we're able to do it. The governor was very helpful in dedicating this, and I think it meant an awful lot to the family members. So we'd invite people from all over Virginia to come down to the Pocahontas building right at the base of the Capitol, and being able to spend a minute to look at these great Virginians who have paid a great sacrifice for our state.
We have certainly lost some of the very best and the very brightest young people here in Virginia in the war on terror, and in all likelihood we will lose more. I'm curious, General, if you were in Washington, what do you advise? What is your take on? And I know this isn't your purview right now as Attorney General, but if it was, you're in Washington, what is your vision for a course of action here?
Well, as you correctly pointed out, that is way over my pay grade. I was privileged to serve 21 years in the Army, and but it was all during the Cold War. I spent 3 years in Germany in the shadow of the Iron Curtain, so I got to know a little bit about what our battles for freedom have always been about, but not necessarily a military strategist. It's tough for me to say. I think our nation's in good hands with General Petraeus, who's a great tactician, who's running the show and in Iraq right now, but there are no easy answers. It's a very different kind of enemy than we've ever fought, where suicide bombings is the chief weapon, where they very much don't respect their own lives, where people are paying families to send their kids to blow people up, where they look at it as really a long-term holy war against democracy, against Israel and Christianity. It's just a very, very different approach, and I think it's hard for people with a Western mind to understand an enemy like that and then decide what to do about it. I know there's a lot of controversy about should we have gone in, did we go in for the right reasons, and probably a matter of some fair debate. But the question is, what do we do now? We're in there. we're fighting a war, frankly, that I think is, because of some political considerations, is limiting the generals and the commanders on the ground and what options that they've got. I mean, war is war. It is not pretty. If you're going to fight it like a war, it really needs to be fought. Otherwise, you need to, pack up and come home. And I'm just concerned that with the way we handled Iran back in the late 70s, we've created a theocracy there that is now very, very dangerous to the security of the West. And if we were just to pull out now, that we would have similar problems with the theocracy in Iraq, which is not good for Europe or America or Israel. And so I don't have the solution. If I did, I'd be writing the president. I just think that it's we've got to persist in finding a way to militarily win. And we've had a long-standing policy of not negotiating with terrorists. I just think that we've got to persist and see if with this surge and with some of the other things that we're doing on the ground, if we can't begin to quell the civil disturbance.
Bob McDonald, he's the Attorney General of Virginia, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070. I know that you cannot speak to specifics on the issue I'm going to bring up here about Virginia Tech, because you literally are the lawyer that represents our governor,
right,
and the Commonwealth. But there has been a great deal of press recently, a lot of discussion. Some of the family members are upset about how they feel shut out by the panel, and the panel says that their hands are tied and they want to have access to the gunman's private psychiatric records, which personally I think makes all the sense in the world that they would have access to anything that is going to help them do their job better and perhaps do anything to protect Virginians in the future. But to the extent that you can, and again, I understand you can't talk specifics, but to the extent that you can, shed some light on these issues for us.
Well, now that the period of grieving is beginning to turn into the time for action, it's vitally important that we leave no stone unturned to find out everything that happened along the way leading up to that shooting, and then learn everything that we can to prevent similar occurrences in the future. As you know, the governor and I worked immediately after that to sign an executive order to make sure that anyone who's mentally incompetent and a danger to others is not able to get a firearm, regardless of whether they get inpatient or outpatient treatment. And we closed that loophole in May with an executive order. Now there are multiple studies going on. The Supreme Court's got one on mental health. We've got internal reviews at Virginia Tech and here, the federal level. And as you mentioned, the governor's got a commission or panel that he's appointed. And I have advised the governor, and it's already been done, that they need outside private counsel, that I represent Virginia Tech, the state police, and the governor. We don't want there to be any appearance that there's anything being done other than a search for the truth and a search for remedies going forward with the Virginia Tech panel. But we've certainly advised the governor they need to do everything they can to get every bit of information. The problem is there are federal laws that we can't do much about in the short run that guard the privacy of mental health and education records. And I think what you're going to see ultimately is there are going to be a number of recommendations next year about some improvements in the mental health system. I've recommended one already called Kendra's Law to have a supervised outpatient treatment system. So when people like Mr. Cho that are ordered outpatient treatment, there's better follow-up, there's better accountability with the courts so that we know that they're actually getting the treatment, and if they don't, that we order for inpatient treatment. We're going to have to do some things on the privacy versus security issue, and that's a very, very tough issue. We cherish our privacy as Americans, particularly health and education records, and yet now that's been the impediment to information for the panel. There are some obvious things that need to be done in the mental health system. There's some an obvious fix that we already made in the gun laws. There will be some other issues that I know will be addressed on campus security, like being able to get better notification systems to kids through cell phones that we're already working on administratively. Out of this horrible tragedy, Corey, I believe there will be some significant recommendations to improve campus security and, frankly, improve the general knowledge of the population about mental health. What are the warning signs? How do you get somebody in to help? Because maybe a citizen or a friend or a roommate could have intervened at some point. So there's much to learn, and I'm absolutely committed to a fair fair and significant response to what happened to Tech, and to help these families in any way we can.
We're talking with Bob McDonald. He's the Attorney General of Virginia. And we've got a couple of minutes left, but I wanted to get your response to an article, recent article in the Washington Times about you. And you are quoted as saying, "I'm obviously looking to run for governor in 2009, but the best way I can do that is to demonstrate to the citizens of Virginia that I'm a competent, effective, and caring attorney general." So now it's not a mystery anymore that you have said publicly that you are interested in that office.
Well, you know, you can't believe everything you read in the paper, boy. No, I'm delighted to be the Attorney General of Virginia. It's an enormous opportunity for me to make significant reforms in justice and gang violence and consumer protection and a number of other laws. But at the same time, if I do this job, as I mentioned in that article, well, and am competent and engender confidence in the citizens that I'm making significant reforms that they care about at their front door, whether it's transportation or consumer protection or free enterprise, then I think they'll give me a fair shot at trusting me to be governor. And so I'm obviously, as I mentioned, looking at running for governor. It's certainly my plan to run, but I'm not taking my eye off the ball at all. This is a terrific job. I think I'm having an impact every day and advising my 200 or so clients, working with the governor to move the ball forward on safety and security and consumer issues. And if I do this well, I think I will have some doors opened. And that's the strategy that I'm using. And anything I can do to travel the state to tell people why the ideas that I've had are good for the state, I'm trying to do, and hopefully they'll give me a chance at something else later on.
Bob McDonald, a good friend of this program and the Attorney General of the Commonwealth of Virginia. He joins us once a month to talk issues here on the little program. General, thank you so much. I appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks again, Coy. I look forward to being with you next month.
This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at sevillepodcast.com.
You've been listening to WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. The show can be heard every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 o'clock on News Radio 1070 WINA. This is the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at sevillepodcast.com. If you enjoyed the show, why not check out our site for hours and hours of archives of Coy's show? You'll also find other radio programs, arts features, public affairs coverage, and more.